Hey everyone, welcome back to One Simple Question. This podcast is one that usually asks a basic, everyday question about a person that then delves into their unique and decidedly non-basic answer. Somehow, some way, despite everything that's happened in the world, we've come to the end of this show. Okay, that's a bit dramatic. Actually, it's just the end of the first season. When I set out to do this, I thought, hey, maybe I'll get 5 people who I can publish and see how it goes. 17 interviews later, here we are. Can genuinely say I'm as shocked as you are that I ended up here. Not only are we locked down in a pandemic, but in reflection, I spent the last 6 months learning from folks all over the world about who they are, what they do, and how they got here. So with our final episode of the season, decided not to ask a simple question of anyone. Instead, I reached out to my guests and asked them for a simple question that they have for me. What were they wondering about when I grilled them about their lives? What did our interaction spark in their curiosity? And were they even really paying attention to me? A good amount of my guests this year submitted questions across the board, so the answer to the last one is kind of. Anyways, here we go. The final episode of season 1, where I answer a slew of simple and not so simple guest questions. Our first question comes from episode 15 guest Joe Wheeler.
What up, Shake? The questions that I want to put forward are, number 1, what inspired you to start your podcast? And number 2, do you create your own meaning in life? Is it subjective, or is there some objective meaning that everybody shares? What do you think? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So to answer the first question, which is easiest, I'll give you a bit of a story. I'm someone who listens to a ton of podcasts. I've always wanted to be part of a podcast as a host, a producer, even a guest. I'm sure that's not a shock to many of you, but I never really got that opportunity, or I guess I never really made that opportunity. So in November of last year, we had this incredible work event, and it featured 2 things that got me started. The first was a slew of my colleagues coming up and telling really deep, meaningful, and vulnerable stories about themselves. 3 of which you've heard on the show: Naveed of episode 1, Usam in episode 4, and David in episode 5. We then had this speaker, a woman named Elizabeth Day, who hosts a podcast called How to Fail with Elizabeth Day. In her speech, I heard what I needed to hear to try this out. I heard just to take a risk, to stop wasting my time wondering if I could, and just see if I could instead. Honestly, it seemed really daunting at first, but as I got going, and as I learned what it all took shape. And here we are. This little show with 18 episodes and a small group of listeners and the dinky artwork I did myself in Keynote one day. I can honestly say I'm pretty proud of where I've gotten, which is a rare thing for me to say, as those who know me know I'm pretty self-deprecating. Hopefully that answers your question, Joe. As for the second thing you asked, this is a much deeper story that I'm sure I could dedicate an entire episode to, but I'll give you a short version. I had this experience in 2015 that actually answered my life's meaning question. Full disclosure, and sorry to mom in advance, I was in Peru and I was on a 10-day ayahuasca retreat. I don't need to go into the details of ayahuasca because, again, we can do a whole show on that, but basically, it's a psychedelic that effectively puts you in a waking dream. In one of my experiences, I ended up searching for the answer to the meaning of my own life, and I found it. I realized that I create my own meaning, it's very subjective. I actually firmly believe that a lot of what we have is entirely our own and isn't meant to be put on others. We all might share similarities, but it's not my job to show you a way, anyway, unless you ask for it. This might be why I've gotten in so many fights with evangelical missionaries throughout the years. But since I'm hopeful, I will say this. One of the facets of the meaning of my own life is love. It's a basic one, super universal, but it applies to me in a very specific way. I do hope that it is an objective meaning that we all share, though. That is, I hope that in some way, shape, and form, we all need love in a binary 1-0 sense to feel whole. And without it in any manifestation in our life, we will all feel the need to seek it out. On to the next question from episode 4 guest, Hussam Hebbo.
Hey, Sheikh. So my question to you is, what motivates you when you ask your one question to your guests?
This might seem silly, but it's just curiosity. A while ago, I found that I was really curious about the people I met. And then I moved to the UK and found that, hey, I'm meeting a lot of new people. Whether they were friends, dates, colleagues, or even distant relatives, I was always really curious about them. Suddenly, we all had such differing backstories, or at least the stories were different than what I was used to. I realized every person I stood next to in the tube must have deep, meaningful, and interesting backstories, events in their life that would be fascinating to 90% of the folks who haven't lived in their situation. So that's why I ask the questions I do, to share with the world what might seem ordinary to you, but is definitely extraordinary to the rest of us. Now on to two questions from Neil, our ER doctor friend from episode 12, who is currently fighting the COVID-19 pandemic. First, the serious one.
Hey, Abby, how has living abroad changed your view of America?
The answer is massively. It has massively changed the view that I have of America. Feels weird to say that, and I don't want to be one of those expats who disses his home country, but things are just so different when you break out of the country bubble of where you're from. To make this easy, because I could do an entire episode on this as well, I'll say two things. Number one, America is huge. We forget, as we're not always in our spaces, but it's not just one country of one type of people. It's a massive diaspora, and there's not just one American. So when I say I'm from America, it should mean very little other than what currency I might use when I go home. It's very different here because in the same distance it would take me to go to, like, Chicago from where I grew up, I'm probably going to be in another country altogether. I actually remember I did this road trip in Germany last year when we were all allowed to travel, where I just ended up in Luxembourg because that happened to be on the route of where I was going. When I stopped for water and to fill up the tank, I realized quickly that I had to switch my hellos from German to French because that's what people spoke since the last time I got out of the car. Number two is that we need to do a better job of being one country. This might fly in the face of what I just said, but stick with me. We have what might be the most powerful country in the world, maybe, TBD on that right now, but we're way behind on basic stuff that everybody else just does. Healthcare. I haven't thought about that for 3 years because honestly, we just have a national system that seems normal and fine. Transportation, trains, so normal. Public transportation is a preferred option. Now I get if you're in some US cities, that's probably the case too. But honestly, there's a reason I barely use the Uber app anymore. Regulations on things like what goes into our food, there's, you know, less crap in what we eat because governments just said, hey, that's bad, don't put it in food, and voila, people did that. Guns. I can't tell you the last time I saw a person with a gun who wasn't a cop. Just not a thing here and in lots of places in Europe. Okay, that got really serious. Sorry about that. Now for Neil's fun question.
Hey, Abby. One simple question. What non-based liquor ingredient do you rely on the most when making a cocktail?
For those who don't know this, I am an amateur mixologist, which is, I guess, just a snobby way of saying that I can mix drinks. Easily, the most used ingredient in the drinks that I make that's not just a base alcohol is simple syrup, sugar, and water. I realize that's really boring, so hear me out. There is so much you can do with it that's unique. Which sugar that you use changes the flavor a lot. You can really mix it up with things like maple syrup, maybe even honey syrup. You can infuse it, use some tea, maybe some lavender, some gum. That's G-O-M-M-E, not G-U-M. It's really fun how these things will change your drinks, so I highly recommend that you get serious about what your syrup game is. Are you a Demerara brown sugar person? Do you like your regular caster or granulated sugar? I think I missed a couple of pun opportunities in there, so I won't go back for them, but it's a good way of changing up any cocktail that you make at home. And if you're wondering, hey, that's not really what he meant to ask, I would say a good addition to any bar that is maybe a more common ingredient, is bitters. They will really change up any drink that you make. They're pretty exciting in the flavors they come in, and I thoroughly enjoy adding them to my cocktails. Moving right along, a question from Emily Sands of the most recent episode.
If you could go back in time, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
This is such an interesting question. I actually had to think about this for a while. So when I was 18, I had just graduated high school from my small town in Ohio. I will say that I thought I was on top of the world. I think there's a famous saying that there's no one smarter than a high school senior and dumber than a college freshman. I felt really proud of where I was as a person. I thought I could do no wrong. I actually thought that I had made it. I quickly learned how incorrect those statements were, since college is a really humbling experience in many ways. So the biggest advice I'd give to my 18-year-old self would be to learn humility and patience. Those are two things I definitely didn't have enough of, and it showed. Oh, and probably like invent Twitter or learn how to work out properly or something weirdly selfish like that. All right, back to some questions about the podcast. Now from Karen, our personal trainer from episode 16.
So my question to you, when we were talking, I felt that you were so calm, fully engaged, really listening, and your voice was so calm. And even when I listened back to some of the other interviews that you did, I felt the same. So I was wondering if you do anything beforehand just to prepare yourself for the conversation, but also to be really open to receiving the information that the other person is giving you to be able to interact.
This is a really thoughtful question. So thanks so much for asking, Karen. If I'm honest, I don't do anything too specific. I realize that's kind of a cop-out, but I think it just comes from me trying to be really open to new conversations that I've been having a lot lately. Perhaps what's going on in my head is trying to amplify who you are when you're speaking, the idea that my voice should be a guidance for your story to come out. A bit behind the scenes for everybody, I usually prepare with someone on the phone or via chat before we actually record, and sometimes we're not really even sure what we're going to talk about. Which is actually the case of episodes with Min and Kai and Helena, for example. The one thing I've learned is that I think I have some classic empath issues, where I genuinely feel up and down with my guests as their stories come along. Perhaps it's due to the coronavirus or whatever, but listening back on other episodes, it reminded me keenly of the emotions that I felt when hearing a lot of these stories for the first time. I had that general sense of shared experience for some reason, but also excitement to get to be able to hear these stories and share them with you. And now, a question from Anthony of the Good as Gold coffee shop in London.
Hey, I hope you're well. I just want to know, well, how you're spending your time at the minute. Must be a bit crazy. Are you working on any projects? How are you keeping busy?
As fate would have it, Tiffany from episode 2 actually asked the exact same question.
Hi, Abhishek, it's Tiffany. I want to thank you again for having me on your podcast. And my question for you is, what are you working on?
So I'll see if I can answer them at the same time. Like most of you, I'm in lockdown here in London. I'm still working my day job, so the majority of my time is spent at my kitchen table / makeshift office. I have properly invested in a monitor, a mouse, keyboard, and chair to be more comfortable and ergonomic, because honestly, I'm not sure how long I'll be here. But what I'm doing in the meantime is just trying to thrive a little bit in lockdown. I've kept my morning routines, don't look at my phone until I'm done getting ready, done with my morning prayers and writing. I listen to a podcast whilst I make coffee and breakfast, and then I catch up on everything that happened after I went to bed. I'm trying to stay active, so I run pretty frequently. And I am working out a lot in home. And lastly, as most of you are, I'm working on upping my culinary game. So using whatever I have around the house or whatever I can find at the grocery store to master some basics I've always wanted to do. I've actually gotten decent at rotis, which is really fun, and I'm sure that my mother really loves. As for what's next and what projects, I haven't really given it that much thought. It feels like I shouldn't try to thrive too much and just be happy that I'm doing a little bit. I am trying to see what I can do with my free time when we end the show for the season. I'm actually seriously considering writing some stories or a book. So I guess watch this space. There might be some zany stuff coming your way. We have another question from Tiffany from episode 2.
I want to know, what have you learned about people as a whole through this process?
There's an underlying current to everybody's stories, and that's opportunity. Everybody on the show this year took the call to action in their lives seriously, some more than once. Ultimately, we're all given these opportunities to rise to an occasion. It's very hero's journey, call to adventure type stuff. Everybody has these moments in life, and oftentimes we just ignore them or we just don't notice them. The guests on the show took advantage of whatever came to them, whether it was via the health of their family and themselves, an idea, a war, a partner, and they went forth into that void. The unknown of it all was probably terrifying. But I noticed that so many of them didn't care that they didn't know where to go next. They just took that path and followed it to where it led them. The other thing I learned, and this is really important across nearly everybody I met, is that your parents are just such a massive influence on who you are. It's given me a lot of insight into what goes on in the brain of someone who might not know their parents or might not have a great relationship with their parents, because so many of the stories that we heard this year tied very closely to a parental figure, whether it was getting them out of a situation, putting them into a situation, dealing with their death, or understanding what they actually wanted from them. I don't know if I'll ever be a father in my life. I certainly know it's not something to take lightly. But what I learned from all these people was that if that does happen, that person or these people will take a lot from me, more than I actually thought they might have in the past. This next question comes from our bodybuilding friend Kit, who, despite the lockdown, is still training for her competition.
Hey Shake, this is Kit. My question for you that I really want to know is why you left San Francisco for London, especially since you seemed so settled there with career and you owned a condo, and I think your brother lives there as well, or at least used to. So curious to know more about that and why you decided to make that move. And my other question is, are you ever planning on coming back, or are you an expat forever? I know you're from Ohio originally. Do you ever see yourself coming back to the United States, to the Midwest, to a coastal city like San Francisco or New York, or is London/Europe kind of it for you? Would love to hear about this on your show. Thanks.
First, I want to thank Kit for asking the same question that my parents ask me every time we talk on the phone. So, hi mom and hi dad. Why did I move? In short, adventure and change. I spent nearly a decade in San Francisco. I built a life. I fell in love. I fell out of love. Bought a house. Bought a motorcycle. I had everything you might say was needed for a complete life. But in the end, I felt like I missed some opportunity that I'd always wanted. Bit about me, earlier in my life, I was given the chance to move to Australia, but I didn't take it. I chose a relationship over that move, which in the end, I don't regret, but it definitely left me feeling like I had missed an opportunity. I had a comfortable life, and I fully believe that if I had stayed in San Francisco, I might have quote-unquote settled down, formally, whatever that means. I might have gotten married, stayed in the nice apartment I had, or upgraded, built my career up a bit more, whatever it is that you think. In the end, what I didn't have anymore was challenge. I missed having something that really pushed me out of my comfort zone. I was doing all these small things that I could to bring that sense to me, fitness challenge, big vacations, a race, bartending, whatever it was, but it didn't give me a sense of challenge in daily life. In other words, I just felt like I was coasting. So I decided to move to a new country, and that would be the endeavor. And I'm really happy that I tried it. To answer your second question, Kit, I don't know if I'll be back. I imagine I would at some point. But one thing moving abroad has taught me is that you don't need to quote-unquote settle down, really. I'm sure it might be easier in some instances, but the world is massive, the opportunities and the people are abundant. If I came back to the US, it might be for good. It might be for a stint, and then off I go again. The real answer is I don't know. But the more important bit is that I don't think I want to know. I think the adventure that lies ahead of me, being a bit murky and gray, is part of the fun of it. Okay, I'm sure you're all glad to hear that this is the last question, and it comes from Kunnan of episode 7. Kunnan is one of my best and oldest friends, and he's hard at work in the hospital right now, keeping us all safe. As a result, he couldn't record his question in time, so I'll just read it out. Kunnan was wondering, what got me so interested in talking about people's stories? And what personally motivates me to dig into what experiences make a person? I sort of answered this question in Joe's earlier bit about how I got into this podcast in general, but one thing Kunnan asked that I will answer is what motivates me to dig into people. I have this theory that when we meet someone new, we can go two ways in our conversation. We can do the interview style where we ask a bunch of questions in a row that might be related, but probably aren't very deep. Where are you from? What do you do? Where do you live? How many siblings do you have, etc.? We do that a lot. It's a bit like walking through a forest and staring at the bottom of several tree trunks. Sure, we might have seen the forest, but did we really see anything? The other thing is to choose one of those questions and just keep going. Continue the conversation down the path that one question can spark, which is kind of what you hear me doing on the show. To continue that analogy, it's like finding a tall tree and putting the effort into climbing it. By the time we get to the top, we'll get a whole view of the forest in a really beautiful green sort of way. So what motivates me in these questions is taking the time to really talk about something important to a person, because I feel like, in the end, I've got a better sense of who they are overall than if I had just peppered them with a bunch of interview questions. So that's it. That's the season. That was a lot of me talking, which I'm sure you're not used to. That was really hard for me to edit because, let's face it, no one likes listening to their own voice. I'm going to be taking the next few months to prepare properly for the next phase of the show, finding great people, interviewing them, creating meaningful episodes, and hopefully entertaining you all. I want to say a thanks to Joe, Hussam, Neil, Emily, Karen, Anthony, Tiffany, Kunnan, and Kit for submitting wonderful questions. And honestly, just thanks to everybody who took part in being in the show. Whether you were a guest, or you introduced me to a guest, or you helped when I was trying to figure out how all this audio editing stuff worked, you're really a huge reason that this whole thing became possible. So if you made it this far, I have two things for you. One is a sincere thanks. I cannot believe you've listened to so much of me, but more importantly, that you gave this a shot. The other is a request. I hope it's simple, I hope this is easy, but this show is just me, and it's a bit of a labor of love. So if you like it, if you think it was fun, or if you enjoyed just a single episode, let me know. You can rate it on iTunes, you can leave a review, you can just send me a note. I'd love if you shared it with friends, whatever you like. If you want to check out onesimplequestion.co for details, it'll tell you how to get in touch. I want to hear what you thought, and I'd love to know what you'd like to see next. And if in the end, anything we did this year taught you something or helped you get through an experience, that's wonderful to hear, and I'd really love to hear about it. Be safe out there, and I'll be back next season with more amazing stories, all stemming from one simple question. One Simple Question is hosted by me, Abhishek Lahoti. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you tune in again soon, and bye for now.